Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The idea of, you know, an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems, you know, sort of a futile act. People are always know that there was something about the 2017 World Series that was different.
All right, welcome back in. Clint Stoerner, I am Ron, the show Hughley in, filling in today. And many thanks to Adam Spillane, who was out, who we spoke to earlier, gave us the latest out at Astros spring training. I've been listening to this deal, and this has been one of the biggest issues. Oh, people are just losing their minds, Clint, about, why would he just call the trophy a piece of metal? Why would he just call the trophy just a piece of metal? And I don't think he should have done that. I think that was a mistake. I think that was a silly thing for him to do and him to say. I think he was a bit too honest. I'm not going to say that people don't care about winning the title or the trophy, but to me, baseball has been, of all the sports, the sport that says, hey, we are the sport that doesn't, that winning the championship, the culture of our sport, is not necessarily the most important thing. All right, we've all known growing up numbers. The numbers were 714, 755, hitting 300, or I mean, sorry, hitting 400, 3,000 hits, 200 wins. Those things were always the important things of baseball. Hell, there are players, Clint, who have been thought to be all-time greats that don't, that have never even sniffed a World Series. Ernie Banks has never even played in a postseason game. He is thought of to be an all-time great. So a little bit of the deal of people going over the top and losing it over Rob Manfred. Come on, man. For years, baseball, to me, unlike football and basketball, those sports, the great players are defined by championships. In baseball, it's not the case. That's why Mike Trout doesn't get crushed when he doesn't advance in the postseason when he's the best player, because baseball is just not looked at that way.
Yeah, look, show. I can't disagree with your point, and I'll one up you from a standpoint of, I feel like Rob Manfred, I disagree with everybody. I think he's done an admirable job. Has he fumbled through a couple of questions that should have been answered differently? Sure, but it's easy to sit here on the outside as the media and ridicule and pick apart how a guy handles one of the most adverse situations that have ever donned professional sports, right? It's very easy to sit up here and talk about how poor of a job that guy has done. When you talk about the fact that he called the commissioner's trophy, the World Series trophy, the fact that he called it a piece of metal, you know, I think the saddest part of that is that Major League Baseball players in locker rooms immediately get on the TV in front of the camera, and they start questioning the commissioner and using things like, man, ever since I was a little bitty boy, all I wanted to do was win a World Series, and all I wanted to do was this, all I wanted to do was that, as if that's what the guy said, right? You pick apart that fact, and all of a sudden you start tugging at all the heartstrings of every Little League parent and every Little League player across the country, and bring them into the fold on this particular issue, and it was completely uncalled for. I think it's a very immature way to respond to the commissioner's use of a term. But could you be a little bit pissed off about it? Sure. Could you talk about the fact that the commissioner should have been more prepared to handle that particular discussion about the commissioner's trophy? Sure. Do you want to complain about the fact that it literally is called the commissioner's trophy and he referred to it? Sure. Pick him apart. But when you start bringing in hopes and dreams and hard work and all that, come on, man, miss me with all that bull crap.
That's part of the ignorance that you were talking about earlier. It's Justin Turner who just, for the Dodgers, the third baseman for the Dodgers, he really went off on this. And I'm just like, come on, man. Like, this is just not the culture of the sport. Like, LeBron James has to win a championship. Like, this basketball, the culture of the sport is Michael Jordan, 6-for-6, went to the finals, won 6 championships, Bill Russell, all those championships. You don't want to be – Kevin Durant said, I do not want to be Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing, so I have to win. Football, that's what it's about. It's the Super Bowl. That's what everyone talks about, the Super Bowl. That's just not been the culture of baseball. And I'm not going to say that people don't care about winning a world championship in baseball. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying – let's not act like that has been what this sport has been about. The sport has been about numbers and the home run records and Cy Youngs. You can win a Cy Young, Clint, and I'm from Kansas City. Zach Greinke won a Cy Young, and his team won 53 games. It doesn't, like, it don't matter as much about winning as compared to the other sports.
Look at Trout last year. I mean, didn't Trout win the MVP last year and the team didn't even get in the playoffs?
Didn't even come close.
I mean, didn't even come close, and he won the MVP. And during the conversations about the MVP, it was almost like people purposely demeans not the right word, but devalued the getting to the playoffs and getting to a World Series in the conversations of supporting him to be the MVP. So to your point, I mean, as recent as last year, with the importance of getting to the playoffs in the World Series has been minimized, right? In that particular instance in 2019.
I think he was a little. I don't even think he did it on purpose. I don't think he meant to push it that way. But, I mean, there is just the thought of, like, this isn't – I mean, come on, guys. Like, this trophy thing, even the World Series has a different meaning than it does in other sports. So, I think Rob has been crushed for a lot of things. I don't think he handled – like I think there are some missteps. This wording of what he used is a mistake.
No doubt.
But this one now people are just latching on. Now people are just, oh, I am outraged. I am so outraged that he would even say that. Like, come on, man.
Think about it. So what is everybody outraged about over this deal? I mean, seriously, let's talk about what everybody's outraged. That trophy incident, right? The fact that players have immunity and they're not getting disciplined, right? And then the use of technology and the fact that, I mean, which everybody did, and the fact that the Astros pushed the envelope, and some will say they busted it wide open and took it to a whole other level, which is fair at this point in time. But in all three of those incidents, and if you've got any more that you want to bring up, I'm cool with it. B-Mac, if you've got any more.
Not stripping the title is a big one.
Right, not stripping the title. Big pressure point, like hot button type topics about this. I mean, let's be honest. What are those things like? Where in those things did the commissioner make a serious mistake? I'll argue the not stripping the title, B-Mac. The more I look into this, I'll argue that not stripping the title is in some way, shape, or form that's flirting with disciplining players, right? It's in that same, it's not as bad as if you were going to suspend them or ban them from baseball, but disciplining players would be stripping MVPs, stripping World Series titles. And so that could very easily be couched in the fact that in the immunity couch, you know what I mean? That could be pushed into the category of immunity. My point in all of this is that we can sit around and talk about the commissioner doing a poor job and that he maybe misspoke a few times along the way, but the big glaring points and hot buttons that are involved in this that everybody seems to be stuck on, I'll argue that the commissioner, not only is he not responsible for ruffling those feathers, he really didn't have a choice.
No, I mean, and when you start talking about stripping the title, then it says, well, hell, I mean, Manny played for those Red Sox teams. We know Manny was juicing. We know David Ortiz has been caught. They were the MVPs and the catalyst of the Red Sox team. Do you take their championship away? Let Roger Clemens won a couple of titles with the Yankees. So it's just like, so, all right, if this one gets taken away, then the other type of cheating, he's handled it in terms of the decisions he's made, because to find out the full story, Clint, he had to give the players immunity. To be able to get everything he needed to get out of the investigation, that's what they had to do. And if they didn't do that, then they may not have gotten all the information that they needed to get out of the investigation. So I just think every decision he's made was the right decision. And I always hate this, Clint, when they say that they didn't lose anything. Come on, man. First and second round picks, your general manager who put this thing together, your championship manager who put this thing together. I mean, they lost things. Like, you start thinking about teams losing head coaches and the architect of putting the whole thing together, that's a big deal. So I really get annoyed when people say they didn't lose anything and that, oh, they should have taken the title, because that where do you want to start with that? Because there's a lot of cheating and teams that kind of could have gotten tied.
Well, we're back to this soft ass world we live in, show. I mean, you know what I mean? Ultimately, we're back to this soft ass world we live in of everybody takes that, whether it's the explanation or the discipline or the lack thereof, and they tear it apart and put it into their own. Well, this is what I would have done. This is how I would have handled it. No, let the man that gets paid all the money, that wears a suit and got to get his ass up there in a press conference in front of the world and talk about this scenario, let him make his decision, and let's have a little bit of trust that he did his due diligence, and instead of just picking it apart, let's have a little bit of confidence in the guy and the job that he's done until he proves us otherwise. Instead of having zero confidence and zero trust from the jump, let's let the guy do his job and then see where the chips fall. That's just the way of our world is to, well, if it doesn't align with what I think and what I feel and how I feel like the Astros should have been disciplined, then damn it, I'm going to voice my opinion.
I can't believe you haven't snapped yet. I cannot believe we haven't seen Baytown Clint make an appearance yet. I've listened to you over the past couple of weeks, and I cannot believe you haven't let him come out.
I gave JB a little bit of it the other day. OB Mac had to keep his finger on the dump button on me. I dropped a couple curse words. So it's close, baby. I'm getting comfortable over here in this chair now.
All right. Well, hold up. We might have him come out coming up, because this topic may have you annoyed the most of anything we talk about today. And we may get a chance to see Baytown Clint, as I like to call him, make an appearance. That's coming up next. All right, welcome back in. Clint Sterner, I am filling in today. Ron, the show, Hughley. Hey, Clint, man. B-Mac, I got something I need to admit to you. You may be really disappointed in me. I ain't never had crawfish before.
What?
Hey, man, cut his ass off right now.
Yeah, man.
Cold turkey. Well, I'm going, all right, them Astros are out of West Palm.
Be honest with you. I thought I could be honest, and I see that I've been hearing about this promotion. I'm excited. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about it, and I'm just telling you, I ain't never had crawfish, and I look forward to this being. I've seen it. I've seen people pour out the crawfish with the corn and the potatoes, and it looks so good. You know, I like to eat. It looks so good.
I see that. Show.
Both of you stop. Hold on, Brian. I know you're laughing.
I didn't say that.
You're laughing a little. You're laughing, though.
Yeah,
you laughed a little too damn hard. Yeah. You jumped in louder than he did. Now, listen, I know.
Because he can make that same joke about me, so it's all right. I can laugh at it.
Nah, man, you need to temper your laugh. Your laugh needs to be the second laugh after Clint. Shoot. I ain't the only one here big. I know I messed up your name, but that don't mean you just get to laugh at these fat jokes Clint's getting off.
My bad, Randy.
Hey, that ain't no fat joke. Look here. Ain't no fat jokes out there. All I'm saying is that I take one good look at you, and the last thing I would think is your ass ain't never ate no crawfish.
I mean, you
got to be kidding me.
Look,
I'm looking forward to you coming on down to Houston. And let me show you what it's all about, baby. Come on. We got parties. Hey, Sports Radio 610 got parties planned now.
I know you do.
Six weeks worth of them joints.
I'm looking at it, and I can't wait to be a part of it. And I know it's presented by you guys at Coors Light.
Come on, Coors Light, baby.
Fat Tuesday. See, I don't know anything. I know nothing about it. Nothing about it. And only thing I know about it is these drink specials: Miller Lite, $1.50, Coors Light, $2.50 bottles. I know about that. But the crawfish, I don't know how to open them. I don't know how to do none of that. I need your help, man. I thought I could be honest, but no, I can't be honest with my guys.
I need you can always be honest, but you better have some thick skin. Don't be like these thin skin baseball fans running around this world right now, worried about letting these Astros hurt them. Now, look here, put your mature pants on now, because I don't need no smart mouth comments about this. But I'm gonna teach you how to eat them mud bugs. We're gonna start. You're gonna suck the head, and you're gonna eat the tail.
Suck the head and eat the tail.
Suck the head and eat the tail. You don't. Hey, look, if you ain't real comfortable and confident, and you ain't around the right group, might want to keep that suck the head off the table. But if you're around some experienced mud bug eaters, then go ahead and just put it all the way down.
I feel like I feel like Houston is really disappointed in me. I feel like people the way that B-Mac said right off the top, I feel like.
Hey, look here. If
you
offended
me.
Hey, if Houston can if they can forgive the Astros for stealing them signs, they'll forgive Big Show for not eating any crawfish. In fact, we would love to teach you a thing or two, bro. That's gonna be fun.
All right, man. So let's get to this, man. What are you juiced about? Because I think if I listen to Clint Sterner, I know the number one thing that the Texans need. It's a pass rusher. I know that's the big issue that they need is a pass rusher, and you've had it with a discussion about that.
Yeah, I just like every time I talk to somebody about this pass rush, the conversation starts. Well, we got guys in house that got to get better. You know, we got guys that ought to develop. We got guys that ought to be better in their third year than they were in the second year. We got guys that ought to be better in the second year than they were in the first year, and I just ain't seeing it, man. I mean, the conversations around that start like that would be okay if the pass rush just fell off just a little bit when J.J. Watt was out, but it was non-existent. You got commentators on games. What game was that? It was the Tampa Bay game, I believe. The commentator was a former receiver. Who was NFL Network, I believe it. Burleson, Nate Burleson, I believe it was. And Nate Burleson says, "Well, hell, if he'd have been from down in his parts, he'd have said, well, hell, if I can run two routes every damn play, I could get my ass open too, right? Because the pass rush was non-existent. It wasn't just hurting because JJ wasn't there. It was non-existent. And so when I have, here's the problem. You know what problem I have, Show? In this business, I have problems with expecting people to understand where the conversation begins. Right? Does that make sense?
No, I got you.
Like if I'm going to have a conversation about the Texans' pass rush, can we start that conversation with the understanding that without J.J. Watt, it was non-existent?
Yeah.
So with that said, Show, is like, don't tell me about where the guys that were non-existent, how they're going to mature and all of a sudden become a force, right? I think they're good complementary pieces. I think there's a couple of them that are really, really good complementary pieces. I think they just paid Whitney Mercilus. Whitney Mercilus is great against the run. I think he's a really, really, really good counterpunch to a dominant pass rusher. When J.J.'s healthy, he's good. When he's not, he falls off, right? The Texans have to move forward and put themselves in a position where they can survive in advance without J.J. Watt. And so I'm tired of having conversations about the pass rush, and then the first thing, the first bullet point is develop players in-house. That ain't it.
See, for me, I think it's even a step further. And this is what we witnessed, especially in the final game they played against the Chiefs, is, man, Clint, they didn't have guys out there who could get to the quarterback when J.J. was out there. And I know they were swinging protection over to 99 side. And Whitley Mercilus really caught me off guard, not being able to get loose on Eric Fisher on one-on-ones. That's the thing is, man, you got to start to find a way to get guys that can rush the passer and at least consistently beat one-on-ones. And I thought that was Whitley Mercilus, and I think for the most part in his career he's been that. Down the stretch, and it was huge in the Chiefs game, he was not that. They have got to find that.
Sure.
You don't have – because you can't go and get high – motor big time defensive end pass rushes because people don't like to let them go, right? People don't like to unload them, or you got to do what the Chiefs did to get to Frank Clark, and that's give up a first and a second round pick that the Texans just held on
and deal with a little baggage.
Hell of a lot of baggage. I don't even want to go there, but they don't have. You got to, or you got to get Khalil Mack and give up two first round picks.
Sure,
like you got to give up. So what they need to do is find guys that can at least consistently beat one-on-ones. And they didn't have that in the most important game.
I'll double down on that. And I think that they didn't have that. And then when the guys did beat their one-on-ones or they did get penetration, they weren't quick enough and fast enough to get Pat Mahomes down. And look, I know Pat Mahomes, he showed a little more athletic ability this year late in the season than most people thought he had. He made some, but let's be honest. He ain't outrunning a good outside linebacker or a good defensive end that's getting a head start on him essentially. It's already moving full speed when Pat decides to start drifting and start leaving the pocket. That to me, that was the most glaring thing in that game as it relates to the pass rush, is that, look, Kansas City's damn good, obviously. You're not always going to get through and beat your one-on-ones. But when you do, you got to make life hard on Pat Mahomes. They would get through. They would shoot the gap. They would beat their one-on-ones and then couldn't close the gap between them and Pat Mahomes quick enough to impact the play. That speed in itself is a problem. That's a problem. And so it's again, show you and I are having a conversation right now that I'm willing to have about the Texans pass rush, right? See, don't tell me about Jacob, about developing Jacob Martin. Jacob Martin can go, but Jacob Martin's about 230 pounds. I guarantee if I went and ate two cheeseburgers tonight, I could get to Jacob Martin. And hell, if I ain't sure, but I'm sitting about 240. I bet I'm heavier than him right now. And I know it's distributed a little differently. But let's be honest. I mean, you ain't 235 off the end. You ain't going to make a living in this league playing that way, not being an every down guy. So developing Jacob Martin is not the answer. They got to do it. I get it. He's in-house. But developing Jacob Martin is not the answer to what are the Texans going to do about a pass rush.
See, to me, this gets me excited because what you're saying and what they need to do, if I'm getting you right, Clint, is that this needs to be more of an immediate thing. They've got to not just a draft, but they got to bring somebody in who can immediately play in this league and make an impact. And to me, that makes me feel that you have a certain expectation, like this team is ready to compete for something big. If you're talking like, hey, we need to go get something right now.
Show, they don't have a choice. 2020 is the year. 2020 is the only – it's going to be the only year that the Texans front office is going to have a substantial amount of extra money to surround their franchise quarterback with the most talent that they possibly can. So it's not about – we think – no, 2020 is the year. So if you're going to empty the clip in free agency, and it better be on a pass rusher that can exist – that can live in this league without J.J. Watt. If you do that with J.J. Watt, that's a big plus. But without him, you still got a fighter's chance. You still got a puncher's chance. That should be the option. That should be the goal up front. And if it's not, hell, you better go get you two lockdown corners, and hopefully you can man up and bring extra bodies and get to the quarterback. Because where they sit right now, developing players ain't the answer.
The thing is, there are guys out there that are capable for them to go get that, that they have the money to be able to go get.
Absolutely. Like
Kyle Van Noy, we talked about from the Patriots, as a solid guy who you know can consistently beat one-on-one blocks. And if you can get Whitney Merciless back to where he was, you get him into the fold with Watt, maybe you draft somebody in the second round or third round and you feel good. Now you got three guys who you believe can beat one-on-one blocks.
Show in passing situations, you got regardless of what you think of Whitney, just got Whitney on one end. You slide J.J. Watt down a little bit, and you get you another a defensive end that come out. Now you got three guys getting after the quarterback. Yes. It's hard to double all of them, right? Yes. And that is a huge upgrade if that guy outside of J.J. Watt can make some serious noise. And it's not a guy, well, we hope you develop, or we hope he makes a big jump from year one to year two. Nah, go get me a shoe-in, lockdown guy that can go get the quarterback.
The most clutch hitter that I've seen in my lifetime, David Ortiz, is the number one person that I would want to have at the plate in the last 20, 25 years if there was a big moment and I needed a big hit. And he finally got away from his – Clint has been talking about, people have been speaking real ignorant about this Astros situation. He made a point about Jose Altuve that I thought was a well thought out point in terms of pressure that he's going to have to be dealing with. I'll get into that next. All right, welcome back in. Clint Sterner, I'm Ron the Show Hughley filling in today. And I'm sorry, man. I still feel real bad. Like I said, I've never had crawfish, but I can't wait for that to change. all right, but I'm going to join this. I'm going to try to join. I'm going to try to get down and join this, man. I want to get this Bugs tour. I think Sports Radio 60 is going to highlight 7 crawfish joints over the next 7 weeks. And just going to look for your feedback on social media, hashtag Best Bugs. That's the nickname of them?
Best Bug. It's the Best Bugs Tour. Mud Bugs is what some people will call crawfish because they live in the mud. You know what I mean? When you talk to us, kick back and forth with us on social media about this thing, hashtag Best Bugs. Use that hashtag right there so we know where to go to get your feedback. Look, we're kicking this thing off Fat Tuesdays, which is 4 days from now, February 25th, at Buffalo Run in Spring. So, look, I don't know. Look, I mean, I like to party. I like to get down. I like to have a good time. I like to let my hair down. I like to have a few drinks here and there. I like to break bread with the fellas. You know what I mean? I appreciate the fact that my beautiful lady's got a great sense of humor and loves to break bread and talk smack and can hold her on. I love all that stuff. I don't know that there's a better place to do it than a good crawfish boil. Feel the steam on my face off the bugs, the nice cold, beer in my hand. Boy, it's crawfish for $6 a pound. It includes crawfish, corn, potatoes, mushrooms, all the fixings, $6.10 a pound. Drink specials, Miller Lite pints, $1.50. Coors Light bottles, $2.50. Come on.
Yep. Giveaways every hour. Giveaways every hour.
That's right.
Including a chance to get an autographed football for Texans players. In the Loop's going to be there. Clint Sterner's going to be there live.
All them loopholes will be there now. All them in the Loop. Okay, look, you got Lopez and Locker. They're going to bring them loopholes now. They'll all be there. Yeah, so look, the party's going to be jumping. The thing is that, and I don't know if it was like this before I got here or not, but I know since I've been here, every 610 party that I've been to, B-Mac, every one I've been to, small, doesn't matter if it's a nice little intimate setting over here in the Verizon Lounge or if it's at a bar somewhere big enough to hold 500, it's been a hell of a time. And I've yet to spot one person that wasn't thoroughly enjoying themselves and thoroughly enjoying a couple of cold Coors Light in the company. So, so look, it's going to be fun, no doubt about it.
Yeah, hang with us. Remember, hashtag Best Bugs, 610 Best Sports Radio 610's Best Bugs Tour presented by Coors Light. Yeah, you know, Clint, I think the one thing that I have been learning with you today for the first hour and a half or so is just so many really, how can I say it, just really ignorant, stupid things that have been talked about with the Astros and this whole scandal. And I think David Ortiz, Big Papi, you know him, the MVP, should be Hall of Famer for the Boston Red Sox. He came out, and I actually really loved his – it felt very thoughtful. His take is very, very thoughtful about Jose Altuve and why he could struggle. Because I think a lot of people are going to say, oh, Jose Altuve's going to struggle because, hey, he's not getting signs anymore. I think this is a guy who's taking a deep breath, Clint, who knows the sport, who knows Jose Altuve. And I think what Ortiz says right here is more of something that makes more sense on why Jose Altuve could struggle.
I don't know how he's going to be able to deal with all the trash coming from fans and everybody every time he step on the plate. So if you might see him this year struggle, I don't think it's going to be because he missing knowing what's coming. Your mind play a big role in the game. It's going to be a huge distraction for the game for a while, and you don't want that.
And I think that makes more sense to me, Clint, than to just go off the end. Like, Jose Altuve is a great player, right?
Yeah.
He may have been enhanced by some of the sign stuff, obviously, but he is a great player. Like, no sign still had nothing to do with him still in those bases. No sign still, had the entire repertoire of everything that he can do. But there is going to – it seems like he's the player who singled out the most of anybody else. There is going to be a lot of pressure on him to perform even more than anyone else on the team. So that makes sense of where you could see, especially early struggles.
Yeah, I don't see him struggling, man. But also you've got to understand, show, I'm of the belief that even — I know Correa came out and said Altuve was never wanted to be involved, never used him, never benefited from him. He was one of very few guys that never used or did not want to use the garbage can, and I believe that. But either way, whether you believe it or not, specifically about Altuve, I strongly believe this, that nothing related to the garbage cans made these guys great hitters. Did it make them clutch? Did it allow them to come through in a clutch manner, possibly, had they known the pitch in the eighth inning when the game was on the line? Sure. But none of these guys, particularly Altuve, that is a great hitter, what he benefited from was not every single at-bat, every single game, every single pitch. And in hindsight, he was able to come out and be one of the best hitters in baseball. I believe that if it were used, and if it were used effectively, they were able to swing games and they were able to be clutch players. I don't believe that a garbage can banging or not banging dictated the greatness of Jose Altuve. I do not see Jose Altuve's numbers swinging because of the pressure this year, right? He may not. The thing is it's hard. It's going to be hard. Whether the clutch gene or the clutch moments that the Astros had in the past, whether they were garbage can generated or not, it's going to be very, very difficult to duplicate those. That was unbelievable greatness at some moments in times over the last 3 years. I just don't believe, specifically about Altuve, that the garbage can banging contributed to him putting together an entire season and multiple seasons of greatness. And if I believe that, and the fact that I believe that leads me to believe that this year he is not going to struggle when it comes to big picture season numbers. When you look back on them, I just don't see much fall off.
See, Clint, I don't know. Poppy made me think of — I can't call that man that. David Ortiz —
no, that's
made
good
me.
Stuff. That's kind of like sucking the head on crawfish. You can say it. You can say Poppy if you're talking about Big Poppy, Chief.
I really take what he said to make me stop and pause and think about that, though. I'm not saying — I don't think Altuve is a different player, right? I think he's a great player, but come on, big dog, you played at the highest level. Like, you know, things can get into your head, and if you start pressing, you can start pressing. You know he's coming out with a mindset, I'm going to prove these people wrong that it was not about no damn trash can. And if he gets to a place where he is pressing, he starts off the season like 5-4-41. He could start pressing. I understand where he's coming from at that point. And I'll push that to you as someone who's played at a much higher level than any of us have. Is that something that you've seen happen, guys, press?
Yeah, you've seen guys press. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But I think this, show. I think that professional athletes, one thing they do at an elite level damn near across the board is compartmentalize. And I just think the most comfortable place that Altuve is in the world, like literally on and on, is standing in that box at the plate. And I just don't believe that. Could it happen? Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's guys that are mental midgets, and they get up there, and they just cannot, for the life of them, get something out of their head and figure things out. I just think that a guy that has that problem doesn't go out there and put together a 3 or 4 year run of the best hitter in baseball, or one of the top 3 or 4 or 5 hitters in baseball, players in baseball like Altuve's done, and then all of a sudden becomes a mental midget and is not able to handle the pressure of this particular adversity. Could it happen? Yeah. I just don't expect it to happen. I would be very surprised if that happened right there, show. That's just, and look, that's a gut feeling about Altuve.
Yeah.
I very rarely have I seen like a Troy Aikman when I got to Dallas. His mind was impenetrable. I mean, like, there was no way that there was going to ever be a lack of confidence of even though his skill set had fallen off drastically, he still thought he was the best in the game because of what he had done and that confidence level that comes with winning championships. I just don't see Altuve being that guy.
Yeah, I guess. I wonder. The pressing part, if he just gets off to a weird slow start, that's where my concern.
Yeah, there's a concern. A concern is fair. A concern is fair. You know what's beautiful about it, show? Is that we're all going to get to see in about a month.
Yep.
It's all going to unfold right in front of our eyes. We can get an old ticket over there to Minute Maid Park, drink a couple cold Coors Lights, and watch him either prove everybody wrong or struggle with the pressure. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I do real quick, David Ortiz. He had some really good things to say about Jose Altuve, but then he of course got into the line with everyone else to sideswipe Mike Fiers, and I'll say it. I think it's about time we owe Mike Fiers an apology.
Man, I'm going to kick your ass off the air again.
I just, man, come on now, man. Everybody, no, I get it. I get it. He broke the code. I get it. He broke the code. But everybody else is breaking the so-called code now. Everybody else is breaking their necks and their asses to get out here to talk about. Mike Trout never says a damn thing. And he's coming out, stepping out, coming out. I bet you it's people who took steroids out here running their mouth, talking about every single person, everybody. It's like 5 days. Come on, Nick Markakis, you can kiss my ass, Nick. And I ain't got to fight it. You talk about they need to get beat up. They need to get beat up. Come on, man. Everybody else is coming out here breaking the so-called code. You remember when the steroid era, when there were guys who were caught, people weren't coming out talking about how much a disgrace Barry Bonds, and it, like, not all the players the way they are now. I know Mike Fiers broke the code, but everybody else is just waiting for somebody to say something.
Yeah, hey, show, I can't get down with you on this one, man. When you sit there and you benefit and you win a World Series with the team that's doing it, and you don't feel that you don't, at no point do you come out and say anything, and then you go to, who was it, Detroit? I guess you go to Detroit and you reportedly you told Detroit what was going on. Then you go to Oakland and reportedly you tell Oakland what was going on, and they all reported it to the league, and the league let it happen. And so that your only choice at that point is to go to the Athletic. No, man, I can't get down with that. Yeah, there you go. You're looking like a snitch. That's right, my boy Poppy. Hey, look, you could have got with LaCroix. I know he had some comments today, and there's multiple guys out there. Hey, rally them troops in the offseason. Go down wherever MLB, wherever their corporate offices are, wherever Manfred puts his toes up every day, Go in there and knock on that door and say, hey, Commish, we got some things we got to talk to you about, man.
It just feels like, Clint, that people have come down harder on the guy who told about the Astros who messed up. There's some people out here who believe they messed up a good amount of money for them. There's some people out here who felt like they could be getting paid more money if the Astros weren't doing this. And you know you don't mess with a man's family and his money. And there's some people out there who – it seems like people are coming down harder on the guy who told about that than the guys who did the act. I mean, it feels like Mike Fiers is hated more than the guys who did the act. And that to me is don't make sense.
Well, show what do you say to the guy that benefited greatly? His career benefited greatly, and everything involved with the World Series, he benefited significantly because of that, and didn't have anything to say, and then waited till after the fact to go run his mouth. I mean,
I think it'd have been more messed up, Clint, if he'd have just said it while they were in the middle of the playoffs, where they would have been on the run when he was here. I think it would have been worse.
Yeah, at that point, I'm not talking about going to the Athletic at that point, but if when you're with the Astros, if you got such a damn problem with it, I mean, it's clear it's coming out. Everybody that knew about it in the Astros organization and didn't know about it in the Astros organization, so clearly it wasn't a topic of conversation. At the very least, make it a topic of conversation. Why does A.J. Hinch have to go bash two TVs to try to communicate a sign to his team that he's not okay with it? Why does he have to do that? Because nobody, including him, nobody in that organization put their foot down and said, hey, damn it, this ain't right. Right? I'm not saying go to the Athletic in 2017. I'm saying rally the troops in the clubhouse. If it's so damn important to you down the road when you ain't benefiting from it, then you should have put your foot down when it was going on, at least to the point of calling a team meeting or rallying the Verlanders of the world, right?
And ain't nobody listening to Mike Fiers in no team meeting.
Yeah, you're probably right. That's what I'm saying. You got to go rally the troops. You got to rally the troops, baby.
I know we got the great John McClain coming up, brought to us by Horn Solutions, and I want to get his thoughts on this. But I need you. I need B Mac.
Help. Hang on. I got one piece. I want to explain to you again how soft this world is. You mind?
Okay.
I'm driving in this morning, and there's a one minute sport report that goes on our station as I'm listening to Landry Locker and them, and I want you to hear it, and I want to know what you think about some. He's reacting to Big Poppy calling Mike Fiers a snitch.
This is Andrew Bogish with a Radio.com Sports Minute. I doubt Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred will ever fully recover from his bungling of the Astros cheating scandal, but he could at least do me this favor. I'm not asking much, maybe just a small fine, but do something to the Red Sox and or David Ortiz, because Ortiz called Mike Fiers a snitch yesterday. In whatever role he has during spring training, Ortiz sat there in full Red Sox gear and called out the A's righty for revealing the Astros cheating, not the Astros for actually cheating. No one even remotely connected to a team should be criticizing Fiers. Manfred needs to do something to make this stop. If you think Fiers is a snitch, you're wrong, but at least keep it to yourself, especially if you're someone like Ortiz, who might have, once upon a time, benefited from a code of silence. I'm Andrew Bogish.
Show.
He stepped out, didn't he?
Show.
Pissed you right off.
Come on, man. I mean, how soft can we get? You want Major League Baseball to find Big Poppy because he called a guy a snitch, because he criticized the guy's term he used. You kidding me? That's where we're at, is if anybody criticizes anybody publicly, we want everybody to be fined. It's going to make us feel better. Do it for me, he said. It's going to make us feel better if Big Poppy gets fined. Come on, man. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, though.
Now, I mean,
is that your update? That's your report? You got 1 minute to talk about baseball, and you want Big Poppy to be fined?
He stepped out on that update,
man.
He stepped out. I think Poppy properly called him what he was. But I just don't think that he should be getting more of the brunt than the guys who actually broke it, who actually took money off some people's table. At least some of these guys are walking around saying that.
Look here, you better be careful talking about apologizing to Mike Fiers. I got the general in here. I got a Hall of Famer in the studio with me, man. I can cut you off, and I got company now. You better be careful, Sean.
I'm just saying, man. Everybody's coming down. Everybody's coming down breaking all the rules now. And get off of Mike Fryer a little bit, man. Let that man live. You know what? That's cool. The general's there. I need to hear from the general. I need help on something. We'll get to the Texans and everything because we got Fryer coming up in this next 4 o'clock hour. But I need the general's help. I don't feel like I'm being a bad father, but I am questioning the decision I made because I feel like I went a little too hard on my 6-year-old son. That's coming up next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.